You ready, Ben?
Yes, sir.
Alright.
Alright, thank you.
First Samuel, chapter number 17. First Samuel, chapter 17. Very familiar passage today, maybe one of the most familiar passages in all the Bible. There, about that confrontation there between the Israelites and the Philistines and that man named Goliath of Gath. And as he faced another young man by the name of David. And so as we come into 1 Samuel chapter 17, we have the account of David and Goliath. And man, I'll tell you, the Philistines were after Israel the whole time, and they were always fighting over war. Or I'm sorry, they were always fighting over land. And so you have the Philistines on one side on a mountain, right? You've got the valley called Elah in between, and you've got Israel on the other side on a mountain, you know. And so as it's going, every single day for 40 days, this giant of a man named Goliath comes down. This man's 9 foot 6 inches tall. His spear's head is 15 pounds. He's got 100 and some pounds of armor on him. And the Bible gives us all those different descriptions of the man. And as I kind of researched how heavy this guy might have been. Listen, folks, he might have been 400 to 600 pounds. Okay. He had Nephi genes in him. Well, whatever. I don't know. He had some genes in him, all right? Some sort of genetics. But this man was humongous. All right? And he was a fighting man from his youth. He's a warrior. He's a fighting machine. You could just imagine a big, deep voice coming down. And he comes down into the middle of that valley, and he looks at Israel's army, and he shakes his fist in the face of Israel's army and in the face of Israel's God and says, "Send a man down to fight me. If I beat him, you will serve us. But if he beats me, we will serve you." He was willing to take just that one fight would end it all, you see. But I want to tell you, there wasn't a man in Israel for 1,000 miles want to face that guy. Yeah. All right? And so as we come into this, this is what's going on. So for 40 days, and the Bible says that when Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. There wasn't one volunteer to fight that guy, except for one. A 15 or 16-year-old young man by the name of David. And I want you to see this morning 4 characteristics of a giant killer. Yeah. 4 characteristics of a giant, of this giant killer named David. And the first thing we're going to see here is that he had character. But look with me, if you would, in verse number 12. Now, David was the son of that Ephrathite of Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse. And he had 8 sons, and the man went among men for an old man in the days of Saul. And the 3 eldest sons of Jesse went and followed Saul to the battle. And the names of the 3 sons that went to the battle were Eliab, the firstborn, the next unto him, Abinadab, and the 3rd, Shammah. And David was the youngest. And the 3 eldest followed Saul. So the 3 oldest were in the army, all right? And David was not. Now look what verse 15 says about David. It says, "But David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep in Bethlehem." So the boys are out in the war here, okay? And they're following Saul, and they're doing their duty in Israel. And this young man, 15, 16 years old, he's taking care of sheep, all right? And so, and it says, "And Jesse said unto David his son, Take now for thy brethren an ephah of parched corn, 10 loaves, and run to the camp of thy brethren. And carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain of their 1,000, and look how thy brethren fare, and take pledge." So Jesse's concerned about his boys. He sends the youngest one to go take them some food and everything, and to give their respect to the captain, okay? And verse 20 says, no, verse 19 says, "Now Saul and they, all the men of Israel, were in the valley of Elah fighting with the Philistines. And David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with the keeper and took and went as Jesse had commanded him. He came to the trench as the host was going forth to fight and shouted for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army. And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage and ran into the army and came and saluted his brethren. Now watch this, verse 23. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines and spake according to the same words. And David heard them. And all the men of Israel went. When they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. And the men of Israel said, have you seen this man that has come up? Surely to defy Israel has he come up. And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Let's go ahead and pray. Let's ask God to have his way here this morning in the message. Father, thank you for your word. I pray, God, that now as we draw these principles out this morning and bring them down to where we live, I pray. Please, God. And speak to our hearts and Lord, I just ask you to, through me, would you please, as you say, feed the flock today. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we look at verse 15 here, okay, the first thing we want us to see this morning about this giant killer, David, is that he had character. All right? The man had character. Look at verse 15. It says, but David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. David was, like I said, 15 or 16 years old. He was a shepherd. All right? He had a lot of responsibility. He had to be diligent, watchful, skilled. I mean, the guy's dealing with sheep. He had to know his sheep. He had to be keyed in and paid attention to detail. The point is, he wasn't a lazy or half-hearted fella. All right? And as we see verses 17 and 18 here, he was trustworthy. He was dependable. He did what his dad told him to do. And he could count on him. He could count on David to get the job done. Watch this. Well, okay, we're not talking about half a job. You ever send somebody to do something, they give you half a job? I hate half a job. You know what I'm saying? I've been known to give a little bit of a half of a job. But that's not what I... Nuh-uh. A man that has... Watch this. A lady has character. They don't give half a job. They do the whole thing. You see. Over the years, I've dealt with various... repair shops and different things, the whole way from Lancaster and some of my equipment to locally and everything. So I got dump trucks and chippers and a lift and different things for tree work, you know. there's some shops you'll go in and you're like, okay, I need this fixed. They'll say, okay, so-and-so's going to be on that. Well, listen, there's some shops that's like, you can say, man, they're really good. But if you get this one guy in the shop, you know it didn't go and work out, okay? Why? Well, because you had past experience with him, okay? They say, yeah, well, so-and-so is going to be taking care of that. You're like, oh, man.
Yeah.
Right? Because right away I'm thinking, half a job, you know? And so it's one of those things that you're not sure how to handle it. Now, I went into this shop one day, and I said, hey, can you guys go ahead? I had some hydraulic hoses. Can you guys go ahead and make this hose up and take care of this? And I said, you have this. He looked at it and he goes, I don't know. Been here a long time. You know what I'm talking about? Been here a long time. I'm like, you don't know. It's like, and by the way, you don't care. See, listen, I'm telling you, young men, young ladies, really all of us, whatever you do, do the best you can at it.
Yes.
Be interested in what you're doing. So that somebody comes to you and you can say, oh yeah, I understand. If not, you know, whatever. As opposed to a contrast, this other shop I go to. Okay? I still go to all of them, but you just don't. But
yeah.
The thing is, go to this other shop. I have this chipper. It's got a 1,200-pound wheel on it. Okay? And the thing got crooked in there. Well, this man was able to take it. This mechanic they had was able to take the wheel off of there, re-weld some things, and recalibrate that wheel because it's got a balance inside there, and do all that. fix my hydraulic system. He does the research. He goes, oh, that's a Carlton tripper. And he calls down. He gets all this research, does all this stuff. And it's done right every single time.
Amen.
That's the guy I want. Hey, folks, that's the way we need to be. And whatever it is we do, to all the glory of God, that honors the Lord.
Amen.
We're able to take care of business. You see. But David here, he's trustworthy. He's dependable. The man had character. Proverbs 22, 29. Seest thou, watch this. Seest thou a man diligent in his business? He shall stand before kings and not before mean men. Mean men are little men. Or maybe even they're mean too. I don't know. But I'm just saying, he'll stand. You're diligent in your business. That honors the Lord. And when you're not lazy and you put your heart into what you do, and people will seek you out and give you opportunities. You'll get opportunities that others won't simply because of that. And David was truthful. He was dependable. He was hardworking. Listen, folks, he was a problem solver. He didn't just do half a job. The man had character. I asked you, think in your own heart, like, do you have that? Is that you? So number one, he had character. But number two, I want you to see this morning, this giant killer of a man had a true heart toward the Lord. Oh, I want to talk about that. All right. That's probably the most exciting part right here. It is for me anyway, is what's going on here. Because watch. When you have a true heart toward the Lord, that's going to kind of show out all over. Yes. You know, it's like the little boy said about, Dad, how tall is Jesus? How big is Jesus? He goes, oh, I think he's about 6 foot. He goes, well, Dad, if he's in my heart, he's going to stick out all over. Well, he is. All right? And it's going to come out all over your life if you know him and you desire to love him and to pursue. May I use the word pursue him?
Yes.
Like a lady, like a man pursuing a lady. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like a heartthrob type thing. Listen, Jesus Christ is we as the church, if you're saved today, if you know Christ, saved, yeah. You're part of the bride.
Yes.
He's the husband. He's a senior partner. And it's a love relationship. That's what it is. You see, salvation isn't a list of do's and don'ts. It isn't doing this and doing that. No, salvation's a person. And his name is Jesus Christ. He died on the cross of Calvary, gave everything. The Bible says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned every one to his own way. And the Lord, that's God the Father, hath laid on Jesus Christ the iniquity of us all. Every sin that has ever been committed in the world was laid on Jesus Christ. And when he died, when he was put up on that cross, he paid it all. They put him in the tomb. He rose from the dead. He paid the sin debt. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Do you know that you belong to Christ this morning? The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's as simple as calling on his name.
Yes.
It's a relationship. Lord, I need you. Lord, please save me from my sin. It's recognizing that you're a sinner and that you need Christ. It's as simple as that. It's not religion. Religion does nothing but send people to hell.
Right.
It's a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And you can go up and sit on the rock on any mountain, anywhere, sit there and ask Christ in your heart and life, communicate with him as a man does to his friend, and God will save you. He'll save you. He'll take care of you. That's what he does. And David had a true heart toward this God. The Bible gives the account here of when Goliath of Gath comes out in the middle of the battlefield, once again challenging, taunting Israel. Everybody was afraid, you know. And he's mocking Israel's God. And David hears this loud and clear. And he says, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Nobody else was saying that. They were trembling. Okay? And it's evident that every soldier involved in this battle against the Philistine was scared to death. In verse 28, David's brothers accused David of being arrogant and full of himself. David, just be quiet. Just get out of here. You know. Now, we need to remember something about David. Okay, now watch. David. David was the sweet psalmist of Israel. His prayer life, I know, I say it every message. I can't help it. His prayer life's written down in the Holy Scriptures. Okay, he had a heartthrob for God. And now this is the early days, so all those scriptures weren't yet written. This is he's 15 or 16 years old, okay? But the man had some life experience. That's what I want to talk to you about. He had some life experience, okay? And he stands before Saul. They hear David say this. They march him right up to the king. They say, Saul, this guy here thinks he can take out Goliath. Saul's like, you know, I don't think he can. And he looks at Saul and he says something like this. Hey, listen, I tapped my dad's sheep. When that bear come down there and he got it, I took it right out of his mouth and I took that bear and I took him out. And I did the same thing to this lion. God allowed me to do this. And he says, and I know I can do that to that uncircumcised Philistine.
Amen.
Really? You see, now, what was he doing? Watch this, people. He was going with life experience.
Yes, amen.
That's what he was doing. This wasn't just a common little thing. Oh, yeah, I believe in God, and it's all going to work out for him. No. He had a very complex, a very personal and intimate relationship with the God of heaven that would not quit.
Yeah, amen.
That's what he had. And so everything he prayed in his life went up before it went out. Do you know what I'm talking about? He lived his life before God before he lived it out into the public, into his life. He talked about it. He talked about it. So the Bible says that pour your heart out before him. That's what God wants. Okay? That's what a wife and husband relationship is supposed to be. Pour your heart out before him. We have children. Our family relationship. We ought to be able to share our hearts with each other. And there's comfort in that, okay? And there's confidence in that. And then that's what God wants with you. And that's what David had. And he had a true heart toward God. And so here he is, okay? He's standing here getting ahead of myself. Yeah. So here he is. He hears what this giant says. He says, who is this guy? But he's not going based on emotion. This is an emotional thing that he's just going to go do, and he's doing this in haste. Okay? This is something here that he knows, that he believes in his life, in his heart, that God wants to take care of. You know, Psalm 91:1 says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. That's a picture of like a chicken that has her little chicks all around her and her wings down over them. You know, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High, we're to dwell under his wings, okay? And that's a place of protection. That's a place of confidence, of security. And as we seek God and pursue him, you can have that in your life, and he desires you to have that with him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's what he wants. Now listen, that's New Testament. Well, actually, it's not. It's the Gospels, that part there. From old to new, that's what we have. It's a revelation of who God is. Matthew 6 and verse 6, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me and I will show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. He says time and time again, I give you three verses there, but there's tons of them. Come unto me. Come talk to me. Come pour your heart out before me. Trust me. Trust the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your understanding. In all your ways acknowledge me and I will direct your paths. That's what he says. It says in all thy ways he will direct your paths. And when I read, I say, in all my ways, you'll direct my paths. That's how I read that. Because that's what he's going to do. Yes. You understand that?
Amen.
Just simply believe him. Uh-huh. Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, I guess I'll just go ahead and do this here. I think God's leading me to do this. I believe it. And there's different ways to know what God's will is. Okay? And the way is, number one way is, does it match up with this? Number two, it'll match up with probably someone else that reads that and say, yeah, that's probably what God had to do on this, you know? And then there's a peace that passes all understanding. You have a peace about this, you know? Whole other message here, we could talk about it, figure out the will of God. But again, David had that relationship with him. And because of his fellowship with God and taking time to meet with him. He saw God take care of things time and time again. And listen, that's not an ordinary faith, people. It's an extraordinary faith. And listen, that kind of faith takes an ordinary man and makes him an extraordinary man. And that's what we have here with David. Okay? He met with God. If I can get anything across to you today, it's this. Dear friend, if you have one little bit of desire to meet with God in a prayer closet, that might be your shed. Okay? Yeah, man, that might be your shed, your man cave. It might be out in the woods. It might be, I don't know where it might be. In your living room. In your easy chair. I don't know. Ladies, same thing. Meet with him. Amen. Pour your heart out before him. Get in this book. Meditate. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but this is Joshua 1 verse 8. But this book of the law, which is the Bible, okay, that's what they had then, shall not depart out of thy mouth, and thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Success, you know, it's written one time in the Bible. That's it. It's in relation to meditating on that book.
Yes, amen.
That book, right there. And this book, you can't divorce the words of this book, people, from the very person of Christ. This is God's word. He said it. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word is with God, and the Word was God. The Word is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And then it goes on to say, and the Word, I think it's verse 14, and the Word was made flesh,
yes,
and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. This book is alive.
Amen.
So, here he is, David. So he's looking at this giant of a man. And he's going, the giant, man, this guy's huge. And he's 600, maybe 400 or 600. I wonder what he bench presses. I don't know, but it's a lot. Man, and he can tear him limb from limb, this size man. And David's looking at this, but then he's looking at this other side. Watch this. He's looking to the other side going, yeah, let's see. God and all heaven's host, the giant, who is this guy? Who is this guy? You see, his relationship with the Lord and the display of God's intervention and power in David's own life and his life experience, he says, who is this guy? Now, you know what the difference is between David and, say, many others of us? Watch this. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with eagles. Mount up with wings as eagles. Thank you. I forget how it goes, but you won't be weary. All right. You walk and you won't faint.
Yes.
He'll give you strength.
Yes.
Listen, David had that, and he believed it.
Yes. Amen.
Yeah. Yep.
I can do all things through Christ.
Amen. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. David waited on God, and it's about waiting on God. And for a lot of Christians today, waiting on God, fellowshipping with God, meditating on his word, watch this, it's just not important. But that's where, that's the whole thing.
Yes.
And because it's not important, it doesn't get done. And you wonder why you're depressed. You wonder why you're struggling. Wonder why things aren't going right. Wonder why your reaction is what it is. Well, God promised you wait on him, he'll renew your strength. You see? Yeah. Proverbs 10:4 says, he becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. You got to work to make money, so to speak. But in a spiritual realm, in a spiritual aspect of it, or in, when you're talking about your relationship with God, there's a lot of us, we're poor spiritually here today because we're not meeting with God. We're not diligent about it. I'm not talking about, oh, you got to have an hour here, and then you look just right at that hour, or 10 minutes. Oh, I spend 10 minutes with God and the Bible, and I'm done. No. Well, I missed mine today, and then you're all bent out of shape because you miss your devotions today. No. You should put some time aside like that. That's for sure. You do. You have those routines. Then they're great and they're needed. But please understand it's a relationship.
Yes.
It's a fellowship with him. You see. So number one, David the giant killer had character. Number two, he had a true heart toward God. Number three, today, he had common sense. David had common sense. Now, you say, what do you mean? He's fighting this big guy. Let's look here. So, he's here before Saul, and Saul agrees to let him fight the giant, okay? And so Saul takes his armor. Saul's a big guy himself. And he takes all his armor and he slams it on this little guy. David probably weighed 120 pounds soaking wet, right? He puts it on this guy, gives him this sword, and the guy's standing there, and, you know, and he's like, man. And he can't even probably move, okay? It's like me wearing Kyler's saddle, all right? You know? He's got this big horse saddle, and I forget my saddle, I got to wear it. It's a tree saddle. It's something you climb trees with, people. That's what it is. Yeah. Yeah. You know, you put Kyler's saddle on, it looks like a big droopy drawers, you know. It's like, well, that's what David, that's what the man has. Okay? And immediately, look at verses 38 and 40, or through 40. He says here, and Saul armed David with his armor, and he put his helmet of brass upon his head, and he armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go. In other words, David's like analyzing this, going, nah, I don't know about this. Yeah, no. Okay, that's what he's doing. For he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off him, and he took his staff in his hand. Watch this. And he chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag. Shepherd's bag. He just went back to what he is. Did you notice that? He just did what he knew. Okay. Now, sometimes that can be bad. God's working in your life. I mean, if I'd have stayed at Penn State when I was supposed to be going to Bible college, well, that'd have been bad. Okay. And then you got to know what God wants you to do in your life. Okay. But I'm saying David here, he's got this, and he's just like, it didn't take this young fellow long to say, nope, this ain't going to work. Now, that's common sense. Okay. And so he chooses a sling and these 5 stones. And folks, let's face it. Saul, that's how he would have fought that giant. If he was going to do it, that's how he would have done it. But he tried to force that on David. And David's like, no, I can't do it. Listen, what am I trying to say? Even about people are different.
Yes.
We're not cookie cutters. We're not all going to be the same thing and do the same thing the same ways and all this stuff. Okay? And the Lord allows for that. He allows for different personalities. He allows for different stuff and how to do it. I mean, yes, I there's definitely right and wrong. No doubt about that. We're going to, I mean, there's right and wrong. But, you know, when it comes to doing something in life, there's a few right ways, various ways to do things. And it's okay. You know, he's not going to use the sword and the shield. He's going to use the sling. Right? And by the way, it went really well for him, you know. And it's okay that people do things a little bit differently. And so, we see that David had character. David had a true heart toward the Lord. Please, that's what we need, every one of us. And I'm preaching to this preacher so much. We need a true heart toward the Lord. And spend time with that precious God of ours. He died for us. Listen, do you realize that all the other religions in the world, they want you to sacrifice for them? And Christianity, our God sacrificed for us. Why? It's the only true one. It's the only true one. This other stuff, No, you wonder why they're all depressed and are committing suicide and everything else. Listen, we need to focus on God. And on Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And it's almost like, yeah, but by the way, I died for you too. Yes. You come to me. I died for you. I gave everything for you. I love you. That's not these other ones. They're fear mongers. All this All these things. Yeah. So David had character. He had a true heart toward the Lord. He had common sense. But the fourth and final thing we're going to see this morning, he had resolve. He had resolve. Look at, in other words, when there's something I didn't want to do or something when I was growing up, my dad would say, listen, son, man's got to do what a man's got to do. Okay. And I can still hear him saying that, right? Well, David knew what he had to do. And if we'll look at verse 40, it says there at the end of that verse, I mean, he put those stones in that bag and he picked up that bag. He just rejected all those swords and the shield and stuff. And he picked up his sling in his hand. Watch this, part of verse 40. And he drew near the Philistine. Listen, there went a man for 1,000 miles and wanted to draw near that Philistine. But here comes this little fellow with his sling. And his shepherd's bag. Okay? I know we talked about common sense on the last point, and he used it right there. Okay, no doubt about that. And David had common sense, but let me tell you what else David had. He had a resolve to do what God wanted him to do no matter what. No matter how hard it was, no matter how difficult a task it is, he had a sense of destiny. I think of General George Patton. I think of that old boy. Now, listen, I don't think he was a saved man. Maybe even an ungodly man. I don't know. But General George Patton in World War II just had a sense of destiny. He's like, I'm taking him out. Yeah, yeah. I just know that I'm going to do it. Yeah, yeah. I think of Stonewall Jackson. They said old Stonewall Jackson, was it a Civil War or Revolutionary War? I think it was Civil War. I think it was. Stonewall Jackson just stand there right in the middle of the whole charge. Stray bullets flying everywhere, all this. He just had a sense of destiny. No, sir, this is what I'm supposed to do. Yep, if a bullet hits me, then it's supposed to. That's David had. And listen, now, I know whatever those, I don't know where those guys drew all their strength, but I want to tell you, the child of God, listen, you, sir, ma'am, you are indestructible till God's done with you.
Yes.
That's a fact.
Amen.
That's a fact. Amen. David had this. He knew it. He had a resolve, a sense of destiny. Here's what I'm supposed to do, and I'm going to do it. Look at verse 41, and we're going to read a little bit here. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, listen to what this young fellow says. Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee. Wow! I'm going to cut your head clean off, okay, pal? That's where he's at, all right? Listen, Hollywood ain't got nothing on the Bible. Do you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Anyway, yeah. Yeah, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, and all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know, amen, shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give it into your hands, into our hands. And it came to pass, when the Philistine arose, came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put up his hand in his bag and took thence a stone. Listen, this guy's got all this armor, all this training. And this guy comes up and he's got this little bag, little purse, pocketbook. He pulls out this stone, right? Pulls out this stone, and the Bible says, and slang it, and smote the Philistine in his forehead. Watch this. Then the stone sunk into his forehead. Listen, folks, it didn't just stop there. It went clean through. Right? It sunk into the man's forehead like a jewel in a pig's mouth or something like that. So anyway, it slang it and smote the Philistine in his forehead, and his stone sunk in his forehead, and he fell upon the face of the earth. Watch this now, verse 3. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone and smote the Philistine and slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Interesting. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine, took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw the champion was dead, they fled. You see, David sunk that stone in that guy's head. And you got Israel on this side. You've got the Philistines on this side. And the Philistines are real confident in their champion. And the little guy just come out and took him clean out. And he's laying there flopping around on the ground. And the little guy runs over. I can just see his little legs going. Whatever, hops up on his chest, grabs his sword out of his sheath, and just slices his head clean off. Picks up that head and goes. And he's showing both sides. And I'll tell you what, the place comes unglued. Yeah. Because the Israelites said, oh, the champion's dead. Down off the mountain they come. The Philistines, they're hightailing her the other way, boys. They're ahead. And I'll tell you, there's a great victory, the Bible says, right in Israel that day. Because there was a man, watch it, there was a man that had a relationship with God that wouldn't quit.
Yes.
Do you understand it? You and I need that. We can't face the giants of this life without it. There's too much to go wrong. There's too much heartache. There's too much sorrow. And we need Christ so bad we can't even stand it.
Amen.
Oh, please. Come to the Savior. He patiently waits. He wants to give rest. He wants you to be able to take the trials of life. We're going to have them, but he'll give you strength through them. That's what he'll do. When men are resolved to do what God wants them to do, it encourages, inspires the hearts of other men, of other people, and to pursue the Lord, to do what the Lord wants them to do. Psalm 127, verse 1. Except the Lord build the house, we labor in vain that build it. It goes on to say, except the Lord keep the city. Except the Lord do anything, we're going to labor in vain. I say this, except the Lord build your life, my life. We're going to labor in vain. David had character. He had a true heart toward the Lord.
Amen.
The man had common sense. And he had a resolve, a sense of destiny. He had a resolve, I'm going to do what God wants. The four things of that giant killer named David that every one of us in here, man, woman, boy, girl, we need that in our lives.
Amen.
Let's go ahead and bow for prayer, and then we're going to have a song. I believe it's hymn number 39. Father, I just do thank you for this day. And I thank you for the word of God. I thank you for, Lord, how you speak to our hearts and how you plain get us through hard circumstances and situations just because you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Will you speak to each one of my brothers and sisters' heart, including this preacher here this morning. Oh, God, we need you. Lord, if there's one in here today, they don't know you as Savior, I pray they come to know you because you're everything.
Amen.
Please, have your will in your way. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's go ahead and stand, and we'll have a hymn here, hymn number 39. Do you want to lead it? Come on, lead it. Yeah. Or Micah, yeah, Micah or somebody, lead that.